Let's imagine it's spring 2025 and Louisiana is preparing to open three diversions on the lower Mississippi so fresh water and sediment can reach wetlands struggling to stay ahead of sea level rise. But the river has dropped to a record low, and the New Orleans Port Authority warns taking that much water from the river will ground ships below Venice. At the same time, salty Gulf water moving upstream against the low river is threatening municipal water supplies, as well as cooling intakes at oil refineries, chemical plants, and power stations. They want the diversions to stay shut. Meanwhile, all three needs could be disrupted when Arkansas opens a structure on the river to begin sending millions of gallons of water to western states, paying top dollar to relieve a drought, devastating farms and cities. So, Mark Davis of Tulane University, who makes the call on first use privileges?
No one person makes that call. Navigation is controlled by the Army Corps of Engineers. Water supply is controlled by the state of Louisiana and various utilities and whatnot. The ecologic issues would be controlled jointly by the Corps of Engineers and the state of Louisiana. And quite frankly, the upstream folks are going to make their own decisions. We don't have a water budget. We don't have a custodian. And if we did, it wouldn't be a custodian who really had a comprehensive mission.
So, as I understand it right now, unlike some rivers such as the Colorado that has legal contracts between states and the federal government, and they parcel out water on strict quotas, the Mississippi is run on a very laissez-faire system. It's a first-come, first-served basis. Each state takes what it wants from that river as it flows through their borders.
That's basically right. The Colorado River and western rivers, including parts of the Missouri, are covered by what we call the doctrine of prior appropriation, which is whoever got there first has a privileged use or prioritized use for that water. The Mississippi itself and the Ohio and most of our tributaries come from a riparian tradition, which is whoever lives next to the water has rights of use and access, but they're not prioritized. And the states, all 31 in this watershed, have their own system of laws which govern who gets to use water, when, and where.
Well, for years this has been something of a concern, maybe on the back burner for Louisiana, because as the last state on the drainage, we get what's left over and also what's put into it, but that's another issue. But now it's becoming something of a grave, if not mortal, concern, because the state is depending on this river and the sediment it carries to rebuild the sinking basin south of New Orleans. So the concern now is, well, wait a minute. We know there's enough stuff, at least we believe there's enough stuff in that river now and enough water to carry it to us for us to take it out and rebuild this sinking coast. But what if these other people start tapping the river above us? Should that be a concern of the state of Louisiana?
It should absolutely be a concern of the state of Louisiana. Not because it might happen, because people are planning for it to happen.
Such as whom?
Well, Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada. States that are in the business of finding water because they don't have enough are absolutely clear that their future is based upon not only conserving the water they have, but supplementing it with water from someplace else. Whether that was the Great Lakes, the Mississippi River system, it doesn't much matter. They're in the business of finding water.
So how do we solve this problem? Is there a move afoot to maybe get all the states in the drainage and the federal government to sit down and say, we need a budget. Here are the current users of the river, and we need some type of agreement where we're not endangering the very life, say, of coastal Louisiana by what's done north of there.
There's beginning to be a conversation up and down the river and even in some of its tributaries about what the future might be. You can't really determine a budget for the whole river if you don't know what the budget is for the bottom of it. If we don't know how much water has to reach the coast of Louisiana for navigation, water supply, you know, ecologic purpose, then you have no idea really how much water you have to start, you know, conserving or making available farther up the system. So this budget actually has to be built from the bottom up if you really want to make it work.
That seems like an argument that would play well here in Louisiana because we're on the bottom. How do you make that sound logical to people in Illinois and Iowa and Minnesota and Missouri and Arkansas?
Well, having talked to people in Iowa and Illinois and other places, obviously they don't wake up every day thinking about what's good for Louisiana and how can I help. But every time that they put, you know, corn on a barge or manufactured goods on a barge, or they're looking to bring rolled steel into this country off a deep draft ship, they're depending upon South Louisiana being in business. That means a place that ships can come, they can offload, a place where businesses and workers can buy homes and be insured, a place where there's water supply for the factories that, you know, make the chemicals and the fuels that drive the rest of the country, a place that, you know, to the extent you have a, you know, hunters and fishers in other parts of the country, you realize that that changes very dramatically if you lose this habitat that's essential to so many, you know, critical pieces of our wildlife heritage. When you explain it that way, it's almost like explaining to people in the grocery store that at some point you should care about farms because food comes from someplace. Well, this river goes someplace and starts someplace, and it starts on two ends, the headwaters and the mouth. But if the mouth isn't working, it doesn't work not just for Louisiana and New Orleans, it for America.
We're here with Mark Davis, director of Tulane's Institute on Water Resources, Law, and Policy. So we're talking about Louisiana, also looking at what states north of us need, so we can understand how we can then stress to them that we're important to those things. For example, you mentioned Iowa farmers needing to ship their grain. So they need the river at a certain height during certain times of the year to get their products south. But they also have to be aware that if the port in New Orleans is closed, as it was after Katrina, they can't get their crops out to market. People up and down this drainage have to know that we do all depend on each other. It's not just Louisiana needs this for Louisiana. If Louisiana doesn't have this, we can't serve all the states north of us, and they can't move their products and profit from that.
I think it's really important for us to remember that, you know, as wonderful as we think Louisiana and New Orleans are, that's not the reason that America cares about this place from an investment standpoint. Never was, never will be. The United States bought New Orleans and the Louisiana Purchase because of an intersection between a continental water system and the oceans of the world. This was a place that they felt as that America needed to control because it was that transfer point. If you lose this transfer point, you know, whether you lost it to another country or you lose it because you lose function, all of America feels that.
Which is a compelling argument indeed for a water budget and for Louisiana to get involved with its partners in trying to figure this out before we spend tens of billions of dollars building diversions, which we may or may not be able to use, depending on when that time comes. Mark Davis, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.